down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. First of all, the gentleman is called he's called me the contractor who just come back in 2008. Some people call me Alvin. Yes. Okay, some call me the visually impaired.
What you prefer to be called by me?
By you?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think it's necessary to call people on the radio by name.
It doesn't matter. You tell me how to call you. What do you want me to call you?
My name on air only came on air because of Mr. Mark Williams and a gentleman that's called Williams. But I never say to anyone I want to be called Alvin.
I'm asking you how I should refer to you then.
Supporter.
Supporter. Okay, there you go. Henceforth.
And make sure you put DLP in front.
DLP supporter.
Yeah. Now, yes, Ms. Ellis, I had no intention of calling until the first week in September. I made that arrangement. I told all my friends that.
We didn't believe you, though.
Sorry?
We didn't believe you. We didn't think that you could hold up for so long.
No, but after today, I'll be going back to that plan. But you forced me out.
Please talk to me.
And let me tell you this. First of all, I will let you to settle down and understand that Mr. Fembishwell is no longer prime minister. One. Two. No one, you nor Peter Wickham, don't know who is going to end up in history as the worst prime minister. Because you don't know if Ms. Motley will be now or the one after her would be. Nobody knows. So to be saying what I heard, I think someone like you, I think should know better. That's this thing. But let me ask you this question. What is the age of Mr. Affley? You have an idea?
I have to check it.
He's over 60, though.
You don't walk but with those things in my head.
Okay, I believe he's over 65. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, a gentleman over 65. Now, you know that I'm a DLP supporter. So I'm not speaking on benefit to Mr. Affley or nothing. I'm speaking what I believe. A gentleman over 65 that was elected in 1999-2003, rejected in 2008-2013, re-elected in 2018. And you could sit there and see fellas that just come being appointed and you have to go back to your consistency at backseat wages. And that gentleman decided to make a decision at that age for a 5-year term, which now we put him in the 70s. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't know what the debate or the balloon about it. Because I say that to say this. We had Hamilton Lashley. We went off to have a good team of people shift away to the BLP in the 90s. We had an opposition leader get up and went over. And you know what I heard when Miss Dr. Clyde Marshall went over? Oh, the DLP on free, and the DLP do this thing, and this thing. But you know, now they give me the impression that everything is upside down because Affley made a decision. I know that you know, and most of the callers know, that being the leader of the opposition brings a large salary, connections, you got contact. He could do more for St. Michael West as opposition leader in his last 5 years in political life than sitting on the back bench. Why should he sit on the back bench when he could go over to empty side, a side that has no one, getting a very heavy pay, travel allowance and entertainment, so he could help the people in St. Michael West? You see anything wrong with that, Miss Ellis?
I see it as an opportunity that some people would take.
It's no, not some people, you and I.
Well, you know, I am not in that position, so it's hypothetical where I'm concerned.
I believe that he did what he feel like doing, and we should leave him alone.
Well, you know, you are entitled to your position. I am also entitled to a situation here where I have to listen to different points of view, and if necessary, share a point of view as well. So we won't always agree, and you and I have disagreed on many things over the recent past.
I told you before, and I will say it now again.
Mm-hmm.
The David Ellis that I knew is not the David Ellis that I see now.
Yeah, you know that there's a good reason for that. I'm an older person now.
What's that?
I'm an older person now.
Older?
Oh, yeah.
Older.
Can't expect me to remain the same?
Older, huh?
Yes.
Yes, let me get to my other point here now. Now, circumstances, we have a habit of, I could say, bringing up something to you all the time. And I just don't feel good about it because the gentleman that he's been bringing back at that was very close to me, and I feel hurt when I hear it. We had a minister in this country, a person who, to me, was a very nice person. And the Barbados Labour Party, going after him and four people in hospital, investigated the St. Joseph Hospital. Just like how you hear the leader of your opposition last night. This thing and that thing, this thing happened and the next thing happened. And they investigated that hospital. Destroy a man's whole life. Spend about $8 million. And up to today, they can't tell you what they've found. So when I hear the Barbados, because I saw the Barbados, they probably were good. It was the National Housing one going into the Costa Edwards. It was the Daffers one going into Arabara. It was the St. Joseph Hospital going into Belfast. Whenever they get into, and at the end of the day, all the taxpayers going to have this money spent. And where I am hearing you this morning, you like you know it happened. Because I hear you talking about this car, get this thing. Like, you're speaking in a way, Mr. Ellis, like if it is a fact of life. That is her side. We got to hear the other side you before know, we could be going out.
I don't know. I want to just listen to you because the truth of the matter is that in everything that I said this morning, I said it more than once. I said that I've heard one side of the story. And I want to hear the other side. That I want to hear the Democratic.
No, Miss F. I listen to you. I told
but do you see you can quarrel with me now? And that's why I don't like to talk over you. So just give me a break. You are not the only person who heard this program today. And anybody else will tell you that on more than one occasion, I made the point that there is more than one side to every story. And it is important that we hear from the Democratic Labour Party what their response is to the allegations which have been made. But you come in here now to corrupt what he said, to make it seem as though I am as one-sided as you want to portray me to your friends and to other people.
Mr. Ellis, I heard you said it's the worst that you ever come across. Oh, you know how bad it is.
Is the worst that I ever come across?
Well, I don't know you. The impression I get from you.
What is it? You need to contextualize what I said. What did I say is the worst?
What the allegations that you're hearing?
I got into determining how could I, on the one hand, say to you that there's a need for me to hear the other side and then come to a conclusion. I never did that. You are putting words in my mouth. You are distorting what I said, and I completely reject that approach. I never said it.
Listen back to program.
No, listen back to no program. I can't be so inconsistent.
Mr. Ellis, don't get too thick.
No, I have to get like that because this is not the first time that you have done this. It is not, you have come to misrepresent what I said.
Mr.
I cannot say it is the worst.
What impression?
What impression? You have come to a conclusion on the basis of an impression, and then, that's not the way to argue anything.
Okay,
you are being ridiculous.
You outline yourself.
Man, listen, let me tell you something. I don't mind being criticized, but I prefer to be fairly criticized. I don't have a difficulty with being wrong. I cannot always be right. But you cannot sit down and listen to what I have said and then take it and distort it in whatever way you can and then say, this is your impression. It's not so. I never said anything of the sort. And you should really stay off until September then if you're going to do that kind of behave in that kind of way. We're going to the Starcom Network News. Down to brass tacks, we're going until 1 o'clock, so we have but a limited time. Give me your reaction, what you've heard from Bishop Joseph Atherley, the position that he has outlined for taking the position, the post of leader of the opposition. What are your thoughts? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. This is my first time caller.
Welcome to you.
Okay, Mr. Atherley, I'm not going to that part. Mr. Appley, they say what in the ministry. He already had a ministry. I believe as a child of God that his job was there to minister all those people and lead them in the path and the right way and ask God to direct them daily. That is his number one job. And all the money, the word he wants will come. You cannot put man first and expect to be. I don't know. All they do is open a whole new can of worms and causing confusion among the people that just elect them there. This is time for them to settle down. As Miss Motley said, they have the honeymoon period because there was a lot of things to be done and they're supposed to hit the ground running. Not everybody speculating and whatever. You're an auction and get on with the people working and get something doing. That's all I have to say. It's disgusting how everybody's getting on for the Democratic Labour Party in this thing and that thing. Them gone. Them BBs in power. Take up your rightful position and give God the glory. Huh? And stop looking back at what them do. Everything that the BLP do, complain about, they did. In the last administration, all the different overruns and the different things and whatever.
And where does that leave us, the people of Barbados?
Okay, let me
the taxpayers of this country, where does that leave us?
Okay, I don't know.
Where should we be?
I'm going to give a simple explanation. I would like to see when the given contractors work, especially comes to the district hospital and the QH and whoever, that they don't go out with all the cheap materials and get the money, and before they get with the day is dropping off and everything.
And why is that important to you?
That was my experience because I work in one of those departments.
So why is it important?
Why is it important? Another one that has a plumber.
Why is it important?
Why is it important?
Yeah.
Because it has the right thing to do.
That's the right thing. So you're concerned about the right thing?
Yes, the right
thing. And why are you concerned about it? Because it impacts on people, right?
Yes.
Good. Well, that's all we're talking about.
Right, and you will see the beauty of it. When you come in there and you do something, and the next 6 months you're going to come back, and then you're going to take so long before you get done to doing it. You understand my point? They have good people on both sides, and they have bad people on both sides. But there are too many people out there are doing gold diggers, and couldn't care less which government gets in power.
All right, sir. Let's take another call. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I understand that the Governor General can elect two senators.
The Governor General? In what context? In the context where somebody sits as opposition leader, that's not the case. So there's somebody sitting as opposition leader now. That person is in a position to make the recommendation to the Governor General for two opposition senators.
How many senatorial seats are available apart from the elected?
Well, you have a number of seats which are allocated to the government. I think there were 9 or so. Let me check the total number.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the point is that he only has the option of two. Okay? And the Governor General has 7. Just double checking the number of the government senators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why is that important to you, though?
Okay, every Governor General has 7, you said, right?
Wait, yeah.
7 or 8. This is how I'm looking at it. I ain't a politician or anything, but I'm reasoning, right? If the Governor General has 7 or 8 that she can allocate to suitable qualified persons or persons who care about the country, I see that maybe she can give 2, 3, whatever, to those persons. And I still see Mr. Attlee as the opposition, because he has already decided, right? As being able to know as the opposition to have some persons on his side. It's not written like that.
I think there are 11 government senators, 12 government senators and all. We just need to verify that. I can't. All right, so it's 12-7-2. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, this is where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody who is leader of the opposition coming from the Barbados Labour Party side. That person is in a position to nominate two representatives to sit in the Senate. Mm-hmm. The question arises, if that person does not exercise that option, then it appears to me as though it can rest with the Governor General. Alternatively, you heard the ruling Barbados Labour Party say that they were going to go to Parliament and make a constitutional amendment that would allow for the party with the second highest number of votes to be able to nominate the two senators. That would only come into play if, for whatever reason, the person who is opposition leader, who says he is now giving critical support to the government, decides, look, I'm not interested in those things. I see my role in a slightly different way, okay? And decides, well, I'm not going to go in that direction. So it's up to the opposition Democratic Labour Party to make its recommendations. Alternatively, if they don't take up the two seats, it has been made clear that the seats will be offered to interest groups in the country.
Mr. Ellis, I was reading an article in a newspaper which speak of the Governor General having the right, the opportunity, to select senators. So the DLP, right, they don't seem as if they want to accept any seat from the Prime Minister.
I don't see
nothing wrong with accepting it from the Governor General then and taking the two seats. And maybe if it isn't written that way,
really
maybe
think
it can.
I don't really think that it comes down to whether they're being offered by the Prime Minister or the Governor General. The split that they have is over whether they should take the two seats at all. Whether they're offered, irrespective of who offers the seats. And ultimately, we were in a position prior to this announcement overnight. We were in a position where we thought that it would have been left to the Governor General to invite them to come to the Senate. But that's not on the cards right now.
Not on the cards anymore since we have an opposition leader?
Yes, that's correct.
I don't see why it should have been thrown out that way, though. I think it should go on.
Well, you got to go with what the Constitution of Barbados says.
But the same way they're going to change the Constitution to bring in...
You can change the Constitution for everything, though?
Not everything, but some things need changing as we go on.
So let me ask you, so you would want the Constitution changed to do what now?
Okay, I think it should be in the hands of, in case something like this happened already, again, I think it should be in the hands of the Governor General, not just the Prime Minister to elect senators. Give her, she should
but
have...
But it already exists, ma'am.
Okay.
That it already, it, we already have a situation where the Governor General elects seven senators.
So the
these are the so-called independent senators.
She has elected those already.
She hasn't. Those names have not been announced. But it is normal practice for the Governor General to announce the names of seven people who are seen as independent senators. And I will refer you to the last Senate where people like Alwyn Adams was an independent senator. Professor Henry Fraser was an independent senator. Dr. Carol Jacobs was an independent senator. So those were appointed by the Governor General.
Well, I think...
So the only issue here is the two opposition senators, the seats for the two opposition senators?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they should take it then and let's get this thing going.
I tell you just now that there is no issue about them taking it because there are no that has been overtaken by the fact that Reverend Atherley is no opposition leader. So they are no position now for the Governor General to offer them those seats unless he says he is not going to exercise that judgment call.
Oh.
Okay.
So they waited a bit. Okay, then.
All right, then. Thanks. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, David.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
You got a lot of action, boy.
Yeah. But I told you that, man. I invite you up St. John and you won't come, man. You could have been the action.
But that isn't true. I went up St. John and you and I had a drink together.
Yeah, but I tell you when we talk at Collington. When I spoke at Collington, he said, come and listen. You tell me
you want me to come back to St. John?
Yeah.
But my plan was that if I went back to St. John, it would only be for a DLP meeting, because the meeting that I saw you at was a BLP meeting, but you only want me to go to BLP meetings. I am into that.
All right, now let me ask one question. What is the purpose of a referendum?
Well, to get the pulse of the people, to get people's feedback and decisions.
Okay. Now, all of these contracts that were placed, and I believe we consider this should not be valid, if there's a referendum on that and the people speak against
a referendum on contracts? That's not necessary.
But no. I'm asking you what would happen.
It would be a waste of taxpayers' money to run a referendum on that.
I believe. I tell you what I believe, not what you believe.
But we've got decision-making apparatus for that already.
A referendum should come on this country pertaining to bringing these people guilty. So if the people speak out that they should be charged, that is what the Prime Minister should do. I think we need a referendum in this country to speak about this issue that she laid before the House yet.
I fear this constitution.
Don't fear none. Everyone to be correct in everything that we do, so that the government got to spend extra money with these contracts that went all over. I would say gone into the next millennium. I believe Mayor Marley should hold a referendum to get all of these things wiped out, because it is not right. So I feel the first thing she should do is have a referendum so that these contracts can be wiped out. And if the people speak, the country speaks. That's all he got to say there.
I want a referendum on how often we should hear you on your calling program, too. You heard me? Dr. Brass Tax.
Mr. Ellis, a blessed day to you.
Listen, we got to be careful that we don't want to change the constitution for every little dogfight, though. And we don't want a referendum for any and everything. On the question of how people feel about how money, taxpayers' money has been spent and that sort of thing, there are existing laws. It is not difficult to determine what is considered to be ethically and morally correct. So if you reach a point where people are within the boundaries of the law, but are essentially out of step with what is morally and ethically correct, then all that requires is making changes to laws. You don't have to have a referendum on something like that. I mean, you got a referendum on something like same-sex marriage, casino gambling, you know. There's certain key things that you don't want to rush into without being able to say, well, a majority of the people are in favor of it being done this way or that way. Or some constitutional changes, for instance. But something like that does not require a referendum. Yes, sir.
Ms. Ellis, a blessed day to you, sir.
And to you, too.
Thank you kindly. I trust that you have a beautiful weekend coming up, you and the staff as well. Huh?
Thank you very much.
You know,
I expect to see you at Soca Ignition with us on tomorrow night at Bagatelle.
I'm sorry, you wouldn't see that.
I know that.
let me say to you that, you know, people just talk and say things because it is not what they feel. But I think that there's a lack of understanding of what the law permits and emotionalism. The law does not say that an outgoing government cannot sign contract to persons or whatever there is. The law gives permission for these things. And what we need to... No, you know the truth. What we need to do...
But everything is done within the context of what is reasonable and what is fair.
Right, but what we need to do is to get the law changed.
So say
don't
what?
Don't continue to cry and complain about these things, and the law still remains. It does not make sense, and then you get emotional about it. Now,
no, we've had previous administrations, you know, who've demitted office, and you know, it is a question of the degree to which we believe that people have gone in a direction that ultimately leaves the public feeling as though they have been disadvantaged.
So that's what we
need to get the facts on, and then we can determine how fair or unfair it is. On the basis of what was put out there yesterday, a lot of people have reacted negatively to what they heard.
Let me say to you, Mr. Ellis, whether it be little or much, it is the law that we need to change. It's simple as that. Talking about it otherwise does not make any sense, nor does not make it go away. Let me move on to my main thing that I want to mention to you. Two aspects.
I heard when you had Mr. Wickham online,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking to him about the non-contributory, the getting an increase, and the law which says that if you increase one, you must increase the other. And Mr. Wickham said that when you asked him about the law, he said he seen nothing wrong.
He referred to something that was said by Kerry Simmons. He wasn't talking mainly from his own position, but he was reporting what he had heard Kerry Simmons say. And the point was that somebody was quoting Mr. Simmons as having said that there needs to be a constitutional change. And Peter Wickham pointed out that that wasn't said, that the law could be changed if necessary to remove that differential between the contributory and the non-contributory. So you didn't hear exactly correctly on that. Anyhow, we got to go. We've had such a hectic day today. But this is the beginning of this government's new term. And to me, I don't know that they're going to get a honeymoon at all. These circumstances do not allow for it. And we wait to hear what the Prime Minister is going to say in her next news conference this afternoon, because we expect that some significant announcements will be made in that news conference as well. That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you all, and thanks to Dennis Johnson. I'm David Ellis. You have a great afternoon.